On the show today, we are broadcasting from MLC with MLC students, and oh yeah, Sally's here too. We're going to be talking about technology, ministry, the future of technology in education. We have tips and picks, some great listener feedback, and a little mystery about our friend Jason Schmidt. Stay tuned. This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network, sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody, to Wells Tech. This is Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
And we are in New Ulm, Minnesota, and it is Tuesday, January 21st, 19. Am I living 14 years in the past?
Yeah.
2014. This is episode 325. It's just new surroundings. We're going to have some people joining us that they're probably going to actually show us what broadcasters really do and how they look and how they talk.
There you go. A little pressure.
So why are we in New Ulm?
Well, I'm here all the time, Martin. Why are you here? You are here for Evangelism Day.
And that's right.
We take the opportunity to sit side by side instead of crossing the miles in our Google Hangout today.
Yeah, Evangelism Day is kind of a neat experience, and this is actually my first time presenting, but I know it's a big deal on campus, and everybody just gets together for a day and focuses on really the most important thing, whether you're teacher, pastor, staff minister, faculty member. We're all about spreading the gospel, and we just kind of focus a full day on that, and that's tomorrow. So that's why I'm up here. But we decided to do our little podcast, and we welcome our live audience. And if you do have questions or want to interact with us on the show, you now have the ability to do that. There is a little question button sitting on the live feed there where you can just click that and type in anything you want, and we'll try and address it during the show. So what did we come up with for show topic today?
You know, we tossed around a lot of ideas, but we thought being on campus at Martin Luther College, we would welcome some students to our podcast today.
Imagine that.
Yeah, have some students join us and tell us a little bit about their vision of tech and ministry and their coming ministry efforts. So.
And this is kind of I'm looking forward to tomorrow for the same reason, talking to people who are actually going to be living in a very different future that we probably can't even imagine. So getting their perspective as they're getting ready to spread the gospel in that world, I think that'll be a lot of fun. So what do we have up first?
First up, we are going to talk with Katie Schultz and Joel Hopper. If you guys will come on in and join us, we are excited to talk to Katie and Joel. Katie is an early childhood and elementary ed major here at MLC in her junior year, and Joel is studying to be a pastor, and he's in his junior year as well.
First of all, thanks you guys for being willing to do this. We appreciate your time, and hopefully you can kind of give us some honest feedback on what you think technology holds in your future. But maybe before we start, Katie, if you wouldn't mind just telling us a little bit about yourself and about your background.
Sure. I am an early childhood and elementary education major here. I'm in my junior year. And I am from Kokona, Wisconsin, so near Green Bay, but I'm actually moving to Lake Geneva in June.
Okay, very good. And Joel, how about yourself?
I am a pastor track student, and I'm in my third year, and I worked on some video independent films and things with my friends before I decided to come out here and be a pastor, so that's my end to the technology.
Awesome. And we're going to ask for tips from you, you know, on our performance, too. We've only been doing this 325 times, but you can tell that we have a long way to go, too. So so before we jump into some deeper topics, let's just kind of look at, in broader strokes, as you look at your future in ministry, where do you maybe see technology fitting in? Katie, maybe you first.
Well, as an early childhood major, we don't necessarily use electronic technology as much in like the 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old classroom, but instead we think of technology as like a pen for them to write or use any kind of tool that they use. But we do see the electronic technology when we are doing our newsletters and when we're trying to communicate with parents, like using all that kind of technology. And I feel like with the way that technology is going right now, it will be furthering and it will make it even easier for us to communicate with our parents.
Yeah, we've seen, we've actually interviewed and talked to people who are trying to introduce like iPads into the lower grades, things that they can touch and feel as manipulative. So I'm sure by the time you're full on into that, that's going to be a wealth of material that you could use. Mm-hmm. Right? Joel, same question for you.
I think that in terms of video, there's a lot of room for using it in small, creative, constructive ways, just even within home congregations. And I've been to several other churches where, you know, they do something where the announcements, or they do something fun and sort of just a little more engaging with a video, even if it's not, directly related to spreading the gospel message. So I think there's room there. And then to spread the gospel, that's almost an untapped area there that gets into a much broader scope beyond probably the congregation or anything that I would be involved in.
Do those kinds of conversations come up in the classroom as you're beginning to get a feel for ministry and understanding what the possibilities are? Or are these just things that, you know, kind of are inside of you that you're going to bring into the ministry? Is this something part of your education here at MLC?
No, I wouldn't say it's part of the education here at MLC. However, I did receive a lot of education and input on the topic at the Christ in Media conference last year. So that was sort of opened my eyes to a lot of what was going on in the Synod and around the world, really. They had however many countries there and missionaries from all over and talking about how they use the technology in their ministries at present. So that really opened up my eyes.
Excellent. I'm just wondering about your personal experience, if you have any tech and ministry kind of experience that you've seen done well that you maybe want to emulate or anything like that. Do you have any stories to tell us, Kate?
I'm not really into the whole technology thing as much as I probably should be, but I have seen like websites for mm-hmm. churches done well, and especially at the UN-conference that I attended here. Last semester, I definitely saw a bunch of different websites and different uses of technology in that conference I thought were really interesting to be using in ministry.
So I think as a student, tell me if you agree, I think as a student, one of the skills that you have to learn is how to keep your eyes open and adopt and evaluate new technologies as they come and try and figure out, is this worth bringing into my classroom?
Oh, definitely. Okay. Yep.
Great. All right. Well, Charles? Yeah, anything exemplary stand out for you, things you've seen?
I don't think so, actually. I wish there was, but like I said, I think it's a really largely untapped thing, especially in our synod. I think here at the school, just 2 years ago was when we really started getting into video stuff, and so we're just really getting the ball rolling with it now. And I know the synod's done a couple other projects and things like that, but in terms of a broader scope or using it really as an outreach tool, I see that's where it would be going ideally, but mm-hmm. I don't see much of it yet.
Okay. Since we're at an evangelism day tomorrow, and you guys are in a demographic that is hard to reach, so you're in that age where I think church leaders and churches in general struggle with how do I reach a Joel or a Katie? How do I engage them? How should they reach you? We're just speaking in technology. If your church were to communicate with you or engage you or provide something of value to you using technology, how would you envision that working? What should they be doing that they're not doing today? Or maybe they are. Joel?
To be honest, I don't use any social media. I don't do anything
like that. How did we pick these people?
But
they go to the technology conferences.
Yeah, well, see, it's the behind the scenes, you know. I guess, you know, I like to the ideas of the movies and, you know,
sure,
actual technical aspects of them. But personally, I'm not someone that necessarily likes to receive my messages in that way.
Okay.
You know,
and yeah, that is interesting. And so, I think there's an assumption from you know, those evangelism committees that live in churches that think, well, we have to use text messaging or we have to use Facebook or whatever. But more and more I'm getting the sense that, you know, there is no one answer and everybody's a little bit different. There are people like you that, you know, just have different expectations for what their church does for them. Katie, any thoughts on that too?
Well, at my church that I'm currently at right now, we receive our newsletter via email, and I really enjoy that because then I get to see, like, the people in the church or what's going on in my church, even though I'm however many miles away from my home congregation.
Okay. Great. Joel, Katie, thank you for your time. We're going to bring in the second wave. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah,
and enjoy the day tomorrow.
Yeah,
enjoy the day tomorrow.
Thank you.
Very good. Next up, we have Emily Waldeck and Dan Schauer.
So, come on in, guys.
Yeah. Now, I know we got a techie in the mix because Dan is an MLC EVCO guy, so no
heavens.
Pressure.
Absolutely. So let's kind of start off the same way. A little bit about your background and what your major is and some of the things you like to do.
Like Katie and Joel, I am also a junior. I'm elementary education with actually an educational technology minor. So starting that off, and then I'm from the East Coast. Not from Wisconsin or Minnesota area. I'm from Trumbull, Connecticut.
Okay.
Went to public school, so.
All right. Nothing wrong with that.
No,
so
sir.
Very good. Thank you for joining us, Emily.
sorry. I come pretty much from Cambridge, Wisconsin. I'm a double major of physics and elementary. I also, as you mentioned, and by my fancy shirt, I'm in the AV department. Technically, I'm the student president, so I really need to represent.
Okay.
That takes a lot of my time during some months, like February is going to get kind of crazy. Also, depending on where you are, I might be helping you set up for Evangelism Day sometime later tonight.
Sure.
Either that or one of my underlings. So
okay.
You're going
to
be seeing...
Nice to have underlings
at
your age.
Yeah. So you're going to be seeing at least somebody with this shirt later today.
Okay. Let's dive into right away with the AV type of questions. I think you probably have some perspective. As you look at, you know, maybe some of the congregations you've visited, I think they're all trying to figure out how to use AV, whether it be in worship service or Bible class. Do you see, and you, you know, as an education major, you probably are kind of figuring out, you know, where does this fit in my classroom, you know, going forward? Where do you see that, you know, once you're out in the real world and you're kind of having to do this on your own?
Well, shoot. That feels like two different questions. Like,
take your pick.
I've seen some churches. I don't generally go around to churches and say, hi, can I look at all your stuff? Trust me. I'm kind of professional. But I have seen gracious, how to say it. It's not like overwhelmingly complicated stuff. Sure, that it takes some, you know, a little bit of know-how, but using some sound stuff, setting up a video camera, getting sound to that, recording your services, broadcasting them, stuff like that, isn't too difficult. Sometimes it gets a bit convoluted, so unless you have somebody there to explain it, it gets weird. But
how about in the classroom?
In the classroom?
How do you envision using the technology that's available today? And I'm assuming you talk about those kinds of things as well.
Occasionally. I'm lucking out because as a physics, well, generally as a science major, we just have so much stuff we can use. There's all sorts of things for your physics class to get really great measurements of all sorts of things. Same for your chemistry courses. They make stuff that can measure everything from temperature, speed, time, acidity, and a bunch of things I can't remember right now. So as ideally a science teacher somewhere down the line, there's just, I couldn't even think of all the stuff I could find and use, electronic or not. So,
fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Emily? I'm wondering about the ed tech slant of your major. I'm excited to hear.
And I didn't even know
that.
They had that at MLC. Yeah, that is a wonderful thing. So tell us a little bit about what that program involves. What kind of classes do you take?
It's actually mainly online classes. I take a lot of online classes with the graduate studies here. So I've met online a lot of the different Wells people who are our tech ministers and their schools. So it's mainly through online that I'm learning how to use our educational technology in our schools.
I think that's a real need in schools. I don't know if anybody's told you any horror stories, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that have graduated and landed at a congregation and they said, we need a website, you're in charge, and maybe they don't know where to start. So hopefully you're getting some of that good experience.
Yeah. Got a question from Rachel Pearson, a friend of the show, and she's asking, greetings all, what kind of technology are you most excited to use in your future ministries? Is there a particular technology that you can think of that says, well, this is going to be one of the first things that I grab a hold of and implement? Either one of you?
I would say iPads. I've used it with my clinical students. The kids see it around on TV a lot, so they are more engaged and they want to learn it. So if I could, like, know more about it and use it well, and still where they're learning and still having fun, that'll be a good tool to know.
Okay.
Not necessarily in the classroom, more of an extracurricular, but I've found that I really enjoy working with play productions and stuff like that. So assuming I'm at a high school that's putting on productions like that, I would sincerely look forward to filling around with their stuff, making noises, pressing mute, making people visible if need be, stuff like that. It's time-consuming and sometimes stressful, but a lot of fun. So if I can have that sort of thing, I'll try not to tear my hair too much and enjoy it.
Okay. I'll ask you two the same question I asked the previous group. You're in that demographic that, you know, some congregations just kind of tear their hair out of. How do we get them engaged? How do we keep them connected to the church? You know, there's been studies done that, you know, your demographic is, you know, more likely to leave the church than any else. And what can churches do to remedy that or help that, especially in the use of technology? Thoughts?
I think Facebook or any of the Twitter, like getting them together, maybe online or Skype Hangouts. I know I do that occasionally with friends from church and stuff. Making sure you stay together with the young people in your congregation.
Getting them connected, connecting one to another. Yeah, and that's the same in a face-to-face world, too. If they don't find that relationship, then, you know, it's going to be tough to find a reason to hang around. Any thoughts from that?
If I had to come up with one thought, it would be not to try too hard. Sometimes, in an effort to, we got to be modernized, we got to use technology, we get a bit obnoxious with it. So you can find stuff that's, you know, modern and hip or whatever it is we used to describe it these days, but don't go overboard with it. We're a church, not a something that uses technology for everything it does. Right. So
I think that's great advice. Don't try too hard. I think people can sense that of any age, you know, whether they're our age or yours. So it's a matter of just finding that niche. So, guys, thanks for taking the time with us. Really appreciate your time.
So, thank you very much.
One more.
See you later.
All right.
Who's next, Sally?
Last up, our student roll call is Jared Natsis, who is also a pastor student, I believe.
Yeah, I am. I'm a junior in the pastor track.
Awesome.
Yeah. Give us a little bit about your background. Where are you from? What hobbies do you have? That kind of thing.
Well, I'm from Saline, Michigan, which is right next to Ann Arbor. Okay. So I'm a big U of M fan, of course. They just beat Wisconsin, so that's pretty awesome. Not to rub that into any fans out there.
It was a bad week for Wisconsin.
I'm a pastor track student. I don't have a whole lot of free time. I'm a pretty busy guy. I am involved in a lot of things here at MLC, but I do enjoy playing video games. It's probably my number one downtime thing. Okay. So,
I'm going to ask you a question that came from our Q&A section, which was meant for Joel, but he was gone before I had a chance to look at that. He says, what do you imagine you could be doing with outreach in 10 years? I'm assuming, and this is from Tom Custer from Bethany.
I think one of the coolest things that technology in our church has brought about is streaming. There have been a whole lot of really cool streaming experiences that have happened. Like on a more personal level, just the fact that MLC streams chapel, you have the choirs singing, so my parents can stream in a choir concert or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's more of intra-church thing. But if we're talking about outreach, that streaming can still be really useful. That you putting your streams online, and then when people move to a new community and they look online for churches, they can see that website, and you have that stream page there. They catch an old stream, and they don't even, they can see what your church is all about without even leaving their computer, which I think is pretty cool, and it's a possibility that's definitely already being used. So I really like the idea of that.
Yeah. Sally, you'd probably agree with that and some of the experiences you guys had at Sleepy Eye and streaming your services.
Definitely.
And not just locals, but international viewers, right?
We had viewers from Australia and China. It was definitely a way to reach out, and people appreciate it. And they like the consistency, too. I think that would be something that I would recommend of anybody that's a student, that if you're going to adopt a technology, look at it as something you're going to do consistently, and that makes a difference.
Yeah. As a Pastor Track student, how has technology helped in your educational process? What tools do you use or envision using for yourself as you begin your professional career that you're thankful that you had, that maybe certainly 10, 20 years ago were not feasible?
It's actually kind of funny you ask that, because just the other day we were talking about in Greek class how when we get to the seminary, we're all going to download Lugus and get that computer program on our computer, and that's a big translation help, huge translation tool that helps you analyze things and really get a sense for things like that. And then we were talking about that in my class, John's Gospel, with Professor Schmidt, and he said, but here at MLC, we're going to learn how to use books, because that's good too. So it's not quite getting into the technology of that yet, because we got to learn the old-fashioned way first and then apply that to the technology that we get at the seminary. So a little bit of an interesting question there.
I just was reading up on a study released by Intel about millennials, your age group, and the fact that they're maybe not as excited about technology as you would expect them to be. It kind of harkens back to what we were talking about earlier. But one thing that it said was that people that are 18 to 25 are looking for technology to make their lives simpler. And I thought, well, how can technology make our work of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ simpler? And are there ways or things that you've encountered that have assisted you, made things simpler for you, or do you envision that?
I think Dan actually had a really good point when he talked about not trying too hard. I do think that like some people get a little bit overwhelmed. We're watching TV and there's a hashtag in the corner and it's like, I don't want to tweet about this. Why is that even there? Yeah. So sometimes we get a little bit too much of a barrage. And really the thing that's going to reach people is the Word of God. That said, it's always good to see what's in front of you and to maybe to take advantage of it. Social media, like Twitter and Facebook. I know Wells has a Twitter account, which I think is kind of cool. And then having a good Facebook presence, so that people from your community or maybe even people from your congregation who, let's say, went to MLC and got a call way elsewhere, they can still stay in touch.
Right.
And then as far as outreach goes, I think Joel was talking about use of video and recording things. And then if you have those videos and recordings online, let's just say somebody brings a nice camera to a church picnic. And then people online can see that recording of how people interact and how that church functions as a family, and then also how they function as a congregation with the Word of God as their center. So all sorts of things can be used. It's just a matter of how, to what degree you use them, and maybe, you know, careful not to overuse them either.
Sure,
so.
Sure, just kind of extend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The sense that I get is that people who didn't grow up with technology are very fearful about the future of ministry with it.
Mm-hmm.
But from, you kind of grew up with technology, so it's a kind of a part of life, and you've kind of accepted that, and I think that's an advantage for this generation coming into the world, where I hear things like, well, don't try too hard, or just, you know, find the right technology but don't obsess about it. I think that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, and this actually kind of applies to some research that I did for my communications class here, taught by Professor Paustian. I talked about a couple of communication theories involving technology. And the basis for these theories was a lot of people were afraid that technology would supplant communication and that it would take the place of the communication that we have person to person.
Mm-hmm.
But what they've been discovering ever since, let's just say, the internet has become so popular, is that people are using technology to adapt their communication. So we're using this technology to fulfill the needs that we have always had. It's nothing is changing as far as our needs or our wants. It's just a matter of how we do it.
So yeah, we're still human. We still have those same needs. It's just a different mechanism.
And then putting that in terms of outreach and stuff, you know, it's just like the same need that everybody has is God's word.
Yep.
So as long as we keep centered on that and keep that as our focus, and then, you know, maybe using it in different methods, in different ways, that's what will really get through to people.
Wise words. Thank you. Jared, thank you for taking the time, and enjoy the day tomorrow.
Thanks. I always enjoy Evangelism Day.
Awesome. So. Thanks for joining
us. Yeah, thank you.
Well, that was awesome, Sally. Great idea you had, or was it I had?
I think it was you.
Okay. Just to be sure. We do have another question here, and this may not be for us. This is from Terry Bauer. How do you envision using technology regarding stewardship issues within a congregation? That's a great question that I think is still, in my mind, is still evolving. Sally, you and I have been to some conferences lately where you've got the card reader, you know, in the narthex, right, where
right,
somebody
you can
do
slide
it.
Your card and give your offering right there.
Right.
In church, which was really surprising.
Yeah, only a few. I've only seen that in only a couple of places. Mm-hmm. But it makes sense, and I know that many churches use automatic electronic withdrawal.
Right.
You know, from checking accounts. I get the sense, though, that that is not mainstream. You know, mm-hmm. I think most of our churches now maybe offer it, but I don't know that there's a large scale adoption. I think there's still a feeling that you want to be able to put something in an offering plate.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe doesn't address Terry's question per se, but I think that's all part of it. But I think just as we were talking about communicating with people and using social networks and using the tools, staying on the same wavelength, I think that's a way that stewardship can be encouraged versus kind of the congregation president standing up at the end of the service, you know, with his thermometer saying, you know, we're here.
Right.
I think it's got to be a kind of a constant communication, saying this is the ministry that we're about, these are the things that we want to do, these are the things that we could do if, you know, those mm-hmm. kind of messages are easy, if they're versus kind of this big plea. It's just kind of a constant, hey, this is the ministry we're about, so, and help us do that. So great question, thank you. Sally, we should probably move along. We're going to have to abbreviate the rest of the program because of the great conversations we've had, but I want to go to listener reviews, and we have one this week, right?
We sure do. Let's see if I'm coordinated enough to share it with you. We heard from, and I lost the wrong screen. We heard from Steve Brown. We've heard from Steve at various times on the show, Martin. He's actually a blogger at Worship Ideas You Can Use. So he's doing some really wonderful he's a lay member at Messiah in South Windsor, Connecticut, and he's doing some great music resources and things on his blog. And in that vein, he reviewed a music resource for us. It's a product from NPH, Let's see if I can do a screen share. And we'll have a link in the show notes to his review. It's for the Christian Worship Supplement, which is an addition to the hymnal that came out. And there's actually a guitar edition. So his congregation recently purchased the guitar edition. And he goes through and talks about the format of it and the chordings and things, which he was really pleased with. There are some more challenging chordings. He said a lot of times things are kind of dummied down or whatever. And there's images of all the different chording. I'm not a guitar player. I don't know if you are. But yeah, it allows for some really great accompaniment of those hymns in the Christian Worship Supplement. So we appreciate the review. Those of you that play guitar or considering this for your church, I think it's only about a $15 product from NPH. We'll have a link to it in the show notes as well. If you're interested, I think Steve has some good experience to share with us.
Awesome.
And we have a prize that we're working towards on Wells Tech. Coming up at the end of May, we're going to be giving away a Nexus 7 tablet, Martin.
So. Yep. So if you have a review that you'd like to submit that you think might have some value to our listeners or viewers, please submit it. We'll enter it. We'll talk about it on the show and share with the class. So, actually, Terry had a follow-up question to our answer. Looked like we were, on stewardship. He said, I'm more interested in the communication of members and maximizing their time and talents. And that's a whole different, that is actually a whole different dimension of the ability of technology to both encourage and track and communicate with volunteers and just kind of their ability to kind of figure out where they fit. So we had a whole show on that probably a couple of years ago on encouraging volunteers and the tools that allow people to sign up and help each other. We talked about the table project in the past where you can see opportunities that you can sign up for to assist people or do different things for the church. And I think technology is perfect for that kind of thing, right?
A couple ideas come to mind, specifically Volunteer Spot is one website, but time and talent surveys that are available online might be something that would be a way to engage people and track what their interests are.
Yep.
And I lost my other thought. So
it'll come back to us. So thank you for the question, Terry. Really appreciate it.
Yep.
Let's move on to our tip or tips of the week. And my tip this week, and Sally's going to bring it up here on the board, right?
I'm trying.
Okay. There it is. It's a little article, and this is going to kind of tie into my pick. I kind of cheated this week. They're kind of a package deal. The tip of the week is, I based it on an article I ran across the other day. I believe it's on a CBS website, the New York CBS website, ran a little article called Sitting at Work for Hours Can Be as Unhealthy as Smoking. So there's some recent research that has come out that talked about the fact that we are many of us are no longer in jobs that that require us to move around, stand up. We spend most of our, I know you and I are examples of this, we spend most of our days on our butts. This is talking about how that can be very unhealthy and that it's not that hard to solve that, and that's by taking these little 5 minute an hour breaks throughout the course of the day. You just have to be disciplined about it. Get up, walk around. You don't have to do jumping jacks or that kind of thing, but just get up. From your chair, stand up, walk around for a little bit, and then come back and sit down. So this is this was kind of an eye-opening article for me. It really says when you're sitting, you are what did they say? You're only expending a handful of calories per hour.
Wow.
So if you're eating a 500 calorie lunch, you're not working off much of that throughout the course of your work day. So just a good tip is to try and build into your day that time where you're going to get off your chair and exercise a little bit. So
unfortunately, it's technology that kind of did that
it does,
to our
right?
lives.
Yep.
We
absolutely
can't be away from our computers for too long.
Yep. Sally, what's your tip?
My tip, actually, I'm going to just demonstrate it on my screen if I can. I'm just going to talk a little bit about the a feature in Google Chrome. It's the incognito window. And maybe we've talked about this on the podcast before, Martin. I don't remember. So I did a search, didn't find it, thought it was free game. So incognito window is really helpful for me as I spend more and more time logged into my Google account. And sometimes I want to see what the outside world looks like. And I can do that by launching a new incognito window in the Google Chrome list of options there. If I do this, it's not going to look like anything but a blank window, so I'm not going to do it. I just wanted to point out where the option
was. Not real exciting TV.
Yeah. But what it allows me to do is look at my websites or things in a non-logged in view. So those of you that are webmasters out there know that when you're logged into your site, you see things that perhaps are privatized, and when you log out, are personalized,
right?
Exactly. And the public may not see the site in the same way that you do. So by launching a new incognito window, you basically are logged out of all of the different sites that you're logged into.
And yeah, because it turns off cookies and everything that is identifiable about you on your computer, as if you're kind of anonymous.
Exactly.
So you get that anonymous experience.
Exactly.
So, great tip. It's each of the browsers has this feature. It's not always called incognito. I know Firefox has it, and Internet Explorer has it. Probably Safari has it as well. So
okay.
Great tip. Thanks.
Yep. And a quick pick from me, I got a new toy for Christmas. It's a digital cutting machine. It's kind of like a printer, but it cuts paper instead. And I thought this would be appropriate for the show. It's called a Silhouette Cameo, because there's a lot of teachers out there that probably would
appreciate. My wife uses one of these.
Is that right?
For our class.
I wonder if she's ever made you a bookmark, Martin.
No,
you know,
look
those
at
relic
that.
Things that...
Wow. Well, we got to show this on camera, I guess. So Sally has made a little bookmark with the Wells Tech logo.
How about that?
Look at that. And the Wells Tech color, orange.
Seems
so,
like
very cool.
Somebody told me bookmarks were relics these days.
Yeah, I was going to ask what you're going to use that for.
I'm giving it to you.
Oh, is that right?
I think you need it. We've been having a little bit of a debate on the show about paper.
Yeah, I'll tuck it right in my Nexus 7.
You do that.
Very cool.
So,
thanks
yeah.
for thinking of me.
So, yeah, got a new Cameo for Christmas. I'm having fun cutting things, and I think maybe teachers especially would enjoy it.
They
that.
Do. Yeah, so. I think it has great application
okay.
there for bulletin boards. Or Debbie does it for Christmas cards, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Gifts, envelopes, that kind of stuff. So
very, all different mediums.
Very cool. All right, it is back to me for my pick of the week. And as I said, it's kind of a package deal with my previous tip of the week, and that's getting exercise. And there's an app for that, as it turns out. This has been around for a while. This is just one of many. It's called Stand App. And basically, it's a simple little application, and this is works on iOS, but it also will work on, I think there's a version for Android as well. And let me just pull back to the video screen here. And maybe you can't see this, but basically you can set it at an interval. So when you're know you're going to be sitting for a while, so you've maybe got a day where you got a morning where you're going to go straight through or whatever, you would turn on the app and you would say, remind me every 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or an hour. You can pick any one of those intervals, and it'll sound an alarm for you, and then it'll give you this little countdown, and in this case, it's a countdown for 5 minutes where it says you need to stand up for 5 minutes. And then what it will do is it'll give you a little exercise. This one's called back stretch. So it shows you what you should be doing, how you do it. Properly shows a little guy in at his office desk just doing a little back stretch. They're little 30-second videos, and they rotate, so you don't do the same one each day. And then when you're done, it recycles, and then 30 minutes later or an hour later, your phone will remind you again and give you another video. So sometimes there's wrist exercises, so if you have trouble with carpal tunnel or whatever, gets you a little rest. Sometimes they're like eye exercises, because sometimes you get eye strain looking at your screen all day. So there's, I think there's application. There's all kinds of these little apps. You use an app for productivity called Tomato.
Pomodoro.
Yes. I think it's tomato. I know
yes.
it's tomato-based.
That's right.
That kind of does the same thing. It kind of says
every
I'm going to sprint.
Minutes.
Yeah.
Yep.
But this does more of a you've sat long enough.
Okay.
You got to get up and do something.
Well, it gives you a 5 minute break. So if you sync them, then you could do your exercises and your 5 minute Pomodoro break.
Perfect.
They could work together.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. That is my pick of the week.
Off our butts, it
okay.
Seems.
Okay. Yep. Absolutely. All right, let's move on to we have a little promo, and this is something we've been talking about for for some time, and we're really excited about this, and we hope you are too, because everybody can participate. So mark down next February, it's in two weeks, right?
That's right.
I forget which week I'm in. February 5th, 7:30 and 9:30 Eastern. Mm-hmm. You can do the math for Central, Pacific, and so on and so forth. Interactive Bible study. Our own President Schrader, President Mark Schrader, is going to do the interactive Bible study this time. It goes for 4 weeks, I want to say, four consecutive weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's entitled, "I'd Like to Read the Bible, But." So he's kind of handling some of the challenges, obstacles, objections to Bible study, which is a great topic and maybe something that should be done on a fairly regular basis in our congregations too, because you know there are a lot of things that the devil would like to put in our way that stand between us and deeper Bible study. So you will want to tune in. Go to wells.net. There should be a link there on the homepage where you can find the interactive Bible study, or maybe even encourage if you're not a pastor, encourage your pastor to consider maybe implementing this in your regular Bible study routine at your congregation, because that's the way it's really designed to work, is that you get a group of people together to go through this Bible study, and there'll be breaks for question and answer, local question and answer, and then President Schrader will come back and go on to the next topic.
Yeah, just a word about what interactive Bible study is. President Schrader will be basically live streaming his Bible study so that you can watch online and participate. There'll be handouts and questions and breakout group information and things like that.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Awesome. Let's move on to community feedback.
All right, we're going to whip through some interesting community feedback we received this week, starting with eggtimer.com. That's e.ggtimer.com. Interesting URL and a great way to just have a simple timer, a countdown timer on your computer. So the
great for classrooms or those
exactly
kinds of things, yeah.
Yep. This came from Tom Rosenau. He's a principal out at St. John's in Pidgeon, Michigan. And Tom's linked us to an article about how Google has this feature built into the Google search capabilities. So you can say set timer on Google, and it will do the same kind of thing. But apparently it's been very flaky. And so this was an option for people that are kind of fed up with the Google timer, because
how hard can it be to have a timer?
And it doesn't. And this one you just do, you can just go to the URL egg timer and set it, or you can type in slash and a period of time. So eggtimer.com /5 minutes, and immediately a countdown timer will start.
What does it look like? Go ahead and.
Well, let's do that.
Crank it up.
We'll do go.
Does it go like full screen then? Oh, okay.
Yep, so you can have it running in a window, and it'll sound an alarm through your computer speakers when it's done.
Very good.
So that's Egg Timer. Maybe I'll leave it running, and we'll be surprised.
Now, you have Jason Schmidt here in the notes. It was Tom Rosenau. I'm going to give proper credit.
You know, that's a good question. Maybe it was Jason Schmidt. Sorry, Jason, if I missed.
You both are consistent contributors, so I don't think they'll be they'll be offended. They probably both know about it.
They're probably like twins or something. Who knows? Right. They're always contributing.
I've never seen him in the same place at the same time. So.
That's right. it's a conspiracy.
Yeah.
Okay. Wells Tech conspiracy theories. Next up was one that I shared, and I'm sure I shared this.
Okay.
So no conspiracy there. This is from our friends at Deloitte & Touche, I believe, which is a
consulting company.
Consulting, yep. That's the word I'm looking for. Yep. And they released some predictions for technology in 2014. I thought it was an interesting read. It's out there as a slide share, so you can make your way through their 30 slides. It covers everything from, you know, smartphones and things. It talks about medical predictions with technology. Just a really interesting read, so check it out.
Beautiful.
This site.
It was an anonymous contribution.
It was an anonymous contribution.
Somebody I spent a lot of time with.
Near,
you know, like
dear
eat dinner
mine.
Every night and breakfast and whatever. Smeken, I don't know if that's how it's pronounced. Smeken Education is the site. Debbie shared this idea library. It's really, I think, focused on language arts, which is, and literacy, which is something that she is obviously spending a lot of time with teaching 7th and 8th grade language arts and literature. She wanted to particularly point out the IDEA library, where they've kind of broken down things into reading, writing, and different content areas. They've tied it to the Common Core. And what you do is when you drill down into some of these areas, you get all, and for instance, you've got vocabulary up, all kinds of resources around that particular topic, classroom resources. So if you're playing, you can play a video, there's games, there's smart board templates. They've collected all these things, and that's half the battle, I think, when you're trying to figure out what resources to use in the classroom is there somebody out there that's curated this so I don't just have to enter a Google search every time? And, you know, these folks have done that, and they've, you know, they can kind of vet some of these things so a teacher isn't wasting half of his or her evening trying to find resources and coming across duds and you know, trying to find a good source for that. So I think that's what this is good for. That's IDEA Library.
Yeah. All you language arts teachers out there, Debbie's vetted it for you.
Thank you, anonymous user. Yes, or contributor. Yes.
Yes.
And from Twitter, we have a community feedback.
That's right. Hashtag WellsTech, community feedback from Justin Krause, who teaches at Salem in Stillwater, Minnesota. And he tweeted a picture, an Instagram photo of his students using the smart response system to take a math quiz. He says the students love it. So those of those in our room still who are teacher wannabes maybe want to check out the smart response system, which is a way for the students to vote on polls or interact with a quiz on the screen.
That's one area we didn't touch on with the students that were here, but when we did our unconference, we had who was a smart board vendor that was here?
Mimio folks.
Mimio.
Sure.
And they had a response system, except they had, you know, handhelds, but they also had response systems that work with smart devices, so your smartphones, Android or iOS. And that's I definitely think that's in our near future as far as having students being able to interact with the teacher and with the content that's being presented and through these smart response systems and aggregate polls, take tests and quizzes and, you know, just do assessment, you know, real-time assessment. I think there, I think there's a real need for that. And I think initially prices were so high that for a lot of our Wells schools, not real reachable, but I think that's coming down, especially if you can integrate that with existing tools that the kids already have in their hands. So,
very good. Last up in our community feedback, I just want to make mention that there's some conversation going on the Wells Tech listserv. If you aren't familiar with our listserv, you can sign up to receive emails and question the email population out there about your techie type questions. This was a question that came in about the brand new HIMSOFT 3 software that's out, and people are just looking for some feedback on using it on different platforms and things like that. So if you have experience, get out there and let your voice be heard. And otherwise, oh, my time expired, it said. So I have my speaker's
5 minutes
off.
Are up.
Yep.
Okay.
So that's going to do it for community feedback.
Okay. If you would like to contribute, we have lots of ways to do that. Just go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, or tune in live, ask us a question. But if you go to that Wells Tech page, that show notes page, you have all of our social hangout places, Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. We didn't have any Pinterest this week.
Actually, so. We did. I just kind of kept it under wraps. Didn't want to shake
your
boat too much.
Okay. I was in a different state, didn't want to throw me entirely off.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
I appreciate that.
I brought paper. That was enough for the day.
That's right. And gave me a bookmark.
That's right.
Okay. I can roll with that. All right. Next week, we're going to have this debate all over again, and we're going to talk about going paperless and how it's easier than ever. So if you're interested in how to declutter and figure out how paper can be a thing of the past in your life, potentially, next week is the show for you.
Perhaps so. Get a little more organized in the process.
That's the whole point. It's not just to do it. It's because it's going to make us more efficient.
Better stewards of our time.
Yep. Free music giveaway this week from Ben-Hur Kamrang, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Go to the show notes page for that download. It'll be available for 1 week. You can download his song for free and keep it as long as you like.
That's right. So play it on your smart device.
Not available in an analog version, but you can get it digitally.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you, Sally, for the for the nice bookmark.
Yeah.
It's even got writing on the back here.
It does.
Join the conversation, wellstech.wellstech.net.
That's special.
We're glad that you guys did that. Please tune in next week for our conversation, and blessings on your work. Thanks for tuning in.